From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I wanted to get Professor David Ray Griffin on today to talk a little bit about some of the new 9/11 stuff that's coming out. More and more former airline pilots coming out saying what happened on 9/11 is impossible. More and more janitors and police and rescue workers saying bombs were going off. But I also wanted to just get his take on the London bombing, just the smell test, which I talked to him off air a few days ago. He said it doesn't really pass that, but you know he doesn't know exactly what happened, but it doesn't look good. And we do have some new developments on that. I wanted to raise those to him a little bit later. Obviously, we have loaded phones, too, and only about 40 minutes or less to talk to him. And I've got several other news items I'm going to throw out there. But I tell you, he's a great guy. David Ray Griffin is professor of philosophy and religion at Claremont School of Theology and Claremont Graduate University. And one of the co-directors of the Center for Process Studies. He is the author of God, Power, and Evil, A Process. And he, again, has just written a whole bunch of critically acclaimed books on many subjects. And he's written The New Pearl Harbor and several other books on 9/11. Professor, good to have you back on with us.
Hi, Alex. It's good to be back with you.
You bet. I tell you, so much has happened since we had you on a few months ago. Your comments on what's going on with the 9/11 truth movement.
Well, it's quite interesting this weekend. For the first time, there will be a convergence of 9/11 people with a lot of other anti-war people. And that's quite a significant development because for a long time there was a rather standoffish attitude. But I think this series of Downing Street memos opened a lot of people's eyes. And people who maybe thought 9/11 people were sort of weird conspiracy people because, you know, the press doesn't cover their stuff, so, you know, it must not be worth covering. And now they see you can get a smoking memo that says the Bush administration was going to fix the facts and the intelligence around the policy of going to war in Iraq, and the mainstream media won't print even that. So I think that opened up a lot of people to
see. Well, this is key.
Yeah.
Left control gatekeepers, funded by the Ford Foundation and others, Amy Goodman, they won't touch this with a 1,000-foot pole, but I have seen now the controlled left coming out of their control, and if you turn on these tens of millions of liberal activists, it is over for the globalist.
Well, one can hope. So one can hope for both of those things. That is, one can hope that there is a sign that there is going to be openness to 9/11 truth in the activist liberal part of the country, and that if that happens, that would make a significant difference. It certainly couldn't hurt. It would certainly help.
Well, what we're seeing is the main screaming of people not believing this ridiculous official story. I mean, certainly you're seeing that.
Yeah, it's you know, the you know, more people, you know, my books and other 9/11 books are still selling rather remarkably well on, you know, as indicated by the ranking on Amazon.com and other indicators. And this means that thousands of people every week, thousands of new people are learning about this, and most of the reviews that I get and other similar books get on Amazon are positive. So,
well, I'll say this, and you know, frankly, the number of videos I sell or books you sell may be substantive, but in the aggregate, it is nothing compared to just what people are learning on the Internet.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's all part of the mix, but that's indicative. I mean, a lot of
that's
people,
a good scientific indicator.
Yeah, it's not scientific, but it's certainly an indicator that
I think it's scientific to be able to look at things being, you know, really best selling, exposing this view. I think that's a scientific reading of sales of something.
Oh, sure, but I mean, you haven't done some sort of impartial poll where, I mean, this is a self-selected audience by definition, but the very fact that so many people are doing this self-selecting is the significant thing. And the point I'm going to make, or one of the points I'm going to make while I'm in Washington, is that there's a sense in which 9/11 is not the worst thing that's happened. I mean, when you think of it, we're talking about a little over, 3,000 people who were killed and a few buildings were brought down. But compare that with, the number of people who've already been killed in the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. If we keep going in Iraq, it's soon going to be 3,000 Americans.
But 9/11 is important because it's the linchpin, the launch pad.
That's absolutely right, and that's the point I'm going to make, that whereas the public might put up with the idea that the president went to war on the basis of fixed intelligence, they would not put up with 9/11.
That's right. Stay there. We'll expose the terrorists when we get back.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Professor David Ray Griffin. We've had Tim and Paul and Ken holding for a long time. Those are the three calls I'll have time to take in about 10 minutes or so. But we're so honored to have Professor Griffin on with us. We've got to get him back on in the future for several hours. Professor Griffin, finish up what you were just saying about this big 9/11 truth convergence, which I wish I could go to, but I'm mainly having you on to promote it. Tell us about that. I'm told Cynthia McKinney is going to be involved, too.
Yes, there are kind of two parallel tracks. That there on Friday, there will be her hearing, which will go all day long, and several people will be there. Paul Thompson and Nafiz Ahmed will be testifying about omissions and distortions in the 9/11 Commission report.
And that's going to be on C-SPAN.
I don't know on that. There's been talk that it would be, but I.
How can they not put a congresswoman having a meeting, there, and covering lies? It's huge.
C-SPAN is our best hope in terms of television.
And what time is that?
The meeting runs all day, really, from 9 o'clock, of course, Eastern time, till 4, I believe. The morning will deal with the questions in the, whether the truth of the report, and the afternoon will deal with the policy questions.
And where is that going to be held?
I don't have that exact location.
I mean, is it in a House office building?
Yes, it's an official meeting.
Well, that's going to so. Do you have this? I mean, is this a part of a hearing, an investigation she's calling through Congress? Or I mean, obviously, if she's using one of their facilities, it is.
Well, I'm not positive if it's technically one of the facilities, but so I can't.
Well, regardless, it sounds very newsworthy. Okay.
Yeah, she has one other congressional co-sponsor, so she's not out there all by herself.
Well, if she's got co-sponsors, then it is official.
Yeah, well, I say she has one. And so that was very good news to hear that one person was willing to sign on. So I say that'll be going on, and then a parallel track will be that afternoon. There will be a meeting at the National Press Club for alternative journalists. And they're hoping several hundred of them show up from around the country. And I will be speaking at that event. I will have about 20 minutes. And two of the Jersey girls will be speaking. Last I heard, it was to be Lori Van Alken and Mindy Kleinberg.
Okay, what are the things you're going to be covering again?
Well, my talk is going to be called 9/11 and the Mainstream Press. And I'm simply going to point out that, in a criminal case, the prosecution gets up and presents an initial case, which is supposed to establish a prima facie argument that there is reason to go forward, prima facie argument for guilt. Then the defense attorney steps up and says, I move for dismissal on the grounds that no good argument has been made. And then the judge steps in and says, au contraire, a prima facie case has been made, or at least the judge can say that. And if the judge does say that, then the defense must rebut all the charges. Now, the parallel is you and I and many other people have established what we believe is to be a prima facie case. The mainstream media should have played the role of the judge and said, yes, indeed, here it is. Okay, Bush administration, defend yourselves. And,
but they've never even allowed. I mean, certainly we've shown the evidence. They've just acted like it doesn't exist.
Well,
they've
yeah.
gone along with the official story since day one, and that's how the globalists, the neocon crowd, has been able to operate with impunity.
Well, that's right. So that the mainstream press, rather than playing the role of the impartial judge or jury, which is what one would expect from a so-called free press, they've taken the role of the mouthpiece for the administration. And so the administration just got up and said, in essence, we move to dismiss. Bush says, beware of outrageous conspiracy theories, probably primarily to the press there. And so, nevertheless, a kind of impartial judgment has been made by public opinion. You've cited the Zogby polls and the polls in Germany and the polls in Canada and so on. So we've got civil society has said, yes, indeed, a prima facie case has been made.
And so really what's happened here is they've tried to sell their fraud, and in the process, the already battle-scarred mainstream media has lost even more of its credibility to a level now where newspaper circulation is down by 66%. In the last 10 years, we have the TV viewership for cable and broadcast TV down around 45%. I mean, we're seeing an exodus that the government's lost all credibility, the media is losing all credibility, and the alternative media itself is being energized in that process. Now what do we do? Have some type of public trial?
Yeah, and the argument I'm going to make is that the 9/11 Commission report was in fact the government's attempt to offer a rebuttal. But, with Zelikow in charge, the White House really had their man on the commission in charge of the commission.
So that proves that that was a kangaroo court where they put all their people in charge, appointed by the president. Then you ask the public again, okay, this was their, quote, response to write up a whitewash, and from the get-go they said, we're not finding government guilt. I mean, they said that from the start, so they're convicted right there of a staged hearing from their own words.
That's right, and so that's what I'm going to try to convince the alternative press people there, is that, in fact, we have actually moved to that final stage because the government had its chance to rebut all the arguments, but it didn't do it. It omitted all of them except a few, and those it distorted. And that's,
which is a prima facie case for guilt.
That's right. And so I would say, as my lawyer friends tell me, if the defense does not rebut all or at least most of the charges, then the jury or the judge says, well, okay, now the prima facie case is conclusive. And that's really the situation we're in. It's just that the mainstream press has not notified the American people that that remarkable transition has occurred.
Well, it's like Larry Silverstein. We call his office. We write to him. Hundreds of media outlets have called him. And he will not respond to Building 7 saying he pulled it. Now, through some intermediary in the New York Post, of all places, oh, well, we were interviewing him about why the towers fell and conspiracy theories, and he said, well, that isn't really what I meant, but then he didn't say what that meant, and then the newspaper decided not to print that, so that shows, if not even Silverstein absconding and covering up, that we also have the media doing it.
Well, yeah, and I think you've had William Rodriguez on.
Yes.
Yeah, and so he's told his story about how NBC News came out to his home and spent a whole day interviewing him about the explosions and then didn't put a second of it on the air.
And then we have all these firefighters saying there were explosions.
That's right.
And then we have the prima facie evidence of the commission saying there are no central steel columns when the World Trade Center's north and south tower had some of the biggest in the world.
Yeah, so I had to be very selective in my talk, but that's one of them I picked out because it's significant there that James Glantz of the New York Times had written that book, co-authored the book on the rise and the fall of the World Trade Center in 2003, and he spent a lot of the book talking about this unique at the time structure being built around these 47 steel columns. And yet when the 9/11 Commission report came out and denied the existence of those columns, you didn't see the New York Times protesting.
And again, that's like saying the Washington Monument doesn't exist.
It's, yeah, and actually, these things were actually bigger. I mean, there was a lot more total mass there in those 47 steel columns than even the Washington Monument. So it's even a more, you could say, monumental lie.
It's like saying the Atlantic Ocean doesn't exist. No, because, I mean, since you talked about that on C-SPAN, and since that was pointed out in the commission report, and others had pointed it out, I've gotten lots of emails from architecture students. They're like, we study the WTCs in school. They talk about the columns.
Yeah, can you get some of those people to go on record and say that?
We have the plans for the building. It's now we have video. We have the film footage of them building the building. I have that PBS.
Yeah, maybe this would be a good show for you to get some of this documented. Get some architecture students on there, or full-fledged architects who say, "Well, of course, this is a big lie."
But I mean, it is the big lie theory, though, because it's so big. We then try to argue with just ridiculousness. I mean, it's like Rumsfeld saying there's WMDs, and then he says it's an urban legend conspiracy. It's a quote, urban legend. Another quote, it's a conspiracy theory. I mean, I've got the guy all over video saying it, Professor, and then he says, no, I'm a kook.
Yeah. Well, you know, this famous quotation from somebody in the administration, and one might guess it was Karl Rove.
We control reality.
Ridiculing people who are reality-based. And saying, well, we create reality, and you journalists just come along and report what we do.
That isn't just arrogance to me. That shows kind of those, you know, pinnacle of power sickness.
Yeah.
The analogy is a doctor, gets on this power trip that he can't ever be wrong. But a better example would be, a deep sea diver down in deep waters. You get euphoric off of the lack of oxygen. And, you know, people in high places also get, you know, this power trip itis.
Yeah. Alex, let me ask you another question about what you've covered on your show. Have you dealt with depleted uranium?
Oh, absolutely. We've been covering DU for about 7 years.
Yeah, I assumed you had. And that's going to be another dimension of this D.C. Convergence meeting. Have you had Lauren, does she say Murray or Moret? Do you know?
Lauren Moret, you mean, yeah.
Yeah, have you had her on?
No, I've had Dr. Doug Rocky and others on.
Yeah. Well, they're on the same page, and she's going to be there.
Well, here's an example. The Army's own handbooks, up until the mid-90s, said it's deadly poisonous, it'll kill you, don't breathe it. All these decontamination ways, you know, guys in suits, special vehicles to deal with it, and then they just don't issue that to the troops and tell them to use it everywhere.
Yeah, so when we say that, only 1,800 Americans have been killed, and even if it's only 6,000, if we were counting the ones who died on the plane leaving Iraq, still, that's a fairly small number compared with the people who are going to die from this war. I mean, just Americans.
I know. How do they, I think DU is almost, in real magnitude, it's much bigger, salting, four different countries with this in the last 15 years. But before we go to a few calls here, Professor David Ray Griffin, I wanted to bring this up to you. Bush and Cheney are out fear-mongering. Their neocon mouthpieces are out fear-mongering. We're going to be nuked. Suitcase nukes are going to go off. Al-Qaeda's about to attack us. Then you go into the history that suitcase nukes don't last that long. The Russians didn't really sell these suitcase nukes. our government had a $20 billion program to buy these up and destroy these. There's records of all of that. But it scares me to see to see these criminals creating kind of a history, a false history, that suitcase nukes are here. And I don't put it past them to blow up 20 city blocks and then radically re-engineer our whole society, have a draft, make themselves king. They've introduced the bills to repeal the 22nd Amendment. I mean, a lot of serious people, Professor, that even Tommy Frank said it, they are really setting up for martial law. I got articles about secret police units with the military spying on citizens. I mean, I'm not trying to scare people here, but I think this military-industrial complex is capable, and I'm seeing the same propaganda I saw before 9/11, of carrying out some type of nuclear attack here in the U.S. Your comments?
Well, my comment is I'm just afraid that you that this may well be right, and like you, I believe that one can't put even such a thing beyond these people because they are really fanatics. It's when you start reading the literature about the neocons and see what their worldview is, and we're talking about people that are household names. We're talking about Cheney, Rumsfeld, Pearl, Wolfowitz, and you know, the Washington Standard crowd, and these guys are truly fanatics who really want to rule the world.
And they've got that megalomaniacal syndrome going, and imagine Napoleon or Hitler with nukes. I mean, we are in so much trouble. And regardless of them setting one off here and blaming it on Iran, they're openly talking about, they've even got Paul Harvey. Did you hear about that?
I haven't heard that anything recently, no.
Well, Paul Harvey, we've aired it here, he came out and he said black slavery was good.
Yeah.
In the same sentence. He said, we gave smallpox to the Indians and we got prosperous. It's time to nuke the Middle East.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are out of control.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I go back to why I focused on 9/11, because even though that would be far worse, and even though, I mean, what we're doing with DU is possibly now killing the world. We don't know.
It is nuclear war.
Yeah, and so those are the huge stories, and 9/11 in and of itself, you know, was a fairly small event.
Yeah, it's like getting Capone on income taxes, and we're not minimizing 9/11, but in scale, it is tiny compared to attacking Iraq twice with hundreds of thousands of tons of this stuff.
That's right.
Serbia, 10 proving grounds in the U.S., and Afghanistan. They bombed Republican Guard bases. Then they have our troops move in a week later and do nothing about it.
Yeah, but 9/11 is huge in terms of
evidence.
It has been the pretext for all this other stuff, so that if we can expose 9/11, and I say the other reason is that whereas American people would put up with a lot of other nonsense, they would not put up with learning that the government had deliberately manufactured 9/11
Professor,
and lied about it.
So many people woke it up now. I think that helps, though. I don't think that this establishment counted on people being so bold and seeing that the root is government-sponsored terror. Do you think that that makes us safer, that everybody's starting to wake up?
Well, it's hard to know. I mean, the opposite could be that they'll say, okay, it's now time for police state. So it's hard to predict the future when you're talking about such people.
When you're talking about lunatics, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Your calls. We got 5 minutes left. I'm going to jam three calls in here. Just have a question or comment ready for Professor David Ray Griffin. Just type his name into Google. You'll get how to get his great books. It's just all over the place. And we have a link to it as well on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now. But, Professor, I mean, you're high up in academia. You know, your book's endorsed. You've been praised by a lot of pretty high-powered people. Talking to folks that would be called, mid-level elite, it seems like, and I talked to some of them too, they're upset. They're worried. It's like, this is so over the top. This is so out of control. The lies are so crazy that a lot of middle-class and upper-class people are now really going, hey, this threatens our whole future. These people really are nuts. I mean, that's what I'm seeing happening. The question is, is it happening fast enough, Professor?
Well, of course, it's hard to know, but it is very interesting that a lot of very conservative people are rejecting the neocons. So you've got these volumes coming out. One of them's called Neocon, and another one's called Neocon Again, and one of them is essays entirely by conservatives. And then you've got Paul Craig Roberts, and you've got several other quite conservative people who are protesting and saying this is just nuts.
Well, again, folks, they're going to carry out attacks. They're going to have a national draft. You're going to have to salute them and worship them. The public plans, they'll have citizens in little uniforms and local tattletale squads. We're going to make Soviet China look friendly if they have their way. Do you agree that they'd like to set something up like that, Professor?
Well, you know, I mean, as I say, it's hard to try to get inside their minds and know what they want. And of course, they're a disparate group, and they probably have some different views. So
well,
I don't know.
I look at what they're setting up. They are setting up the classical police state.
Yeah, but with regard to China, there's no doubt about that. Their focus is now turned to that, and that's the new competitor. I mean, they know all along that this so-called war with Islam is just a charade. But
yeah, that's just a warm-up.
Yeah, I mean, with China, you're talking about a real state with enormous power and with an enormously growing economy.
And they threatened to blow up 200 cities last week. Did you see that quote?
What was that?
Well, the top Chinese general said we'll destroy 200 cities.
Oh, you mean over Taiwan?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, certainly they will sable rattle. So you've got two very strong and powerful forces there, and it's certainly not helpful for us to be presenting them as our new serious enemy.
After arming them to the teeth, let's take a few calls here. We're almost out of time very quickly. Tim in Ohio, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Alex. Hello, Dr. Griffin.
Hi, Tim.
A quick reminder, comment, question. I can do it all in 30 seconds. Remember, people, a true Patriot Act is willing to defend their country against your government. And as we deal with these complex issues, I try to put a template on everything that simplifies it. There's four archetypes out there, those that seek to oppress, those that are aiding those oppressors, those that are bowing down to it, and those like us that attempt to lift the veil of secrecy on these people. I think Mr. C has fallen into category number two there. And finally, whatever happened to the court case Marbury versus Madison that states that anything that goes against the Constitution is null and void, and how does that correlate to...
Yeah, no. The Congress is supposed to control the Supreme Court, and things are backwards. Thanks for the call, Tim. I apologize to Paul in Canada and many others that we're holding. We just got to get Professor Griffin back on. Professor Griffin, final comments?
Well, just keep up the good work and keep informing the public, since the mainstream media is certainly not doing its job.
And the Truth Convergence is coming up.
That's right. It could be a very important event, and there's a hope that some sort of new organization of alternative media will
form. God bless you all. God bless you all.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.